The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hi, I'm Caroline Stanbury, star of The Real Housewives of Dubai, entrepreneur, wife, and mother of three, once divorced and now remarried to a much younger man. Uncut and Uncensored with Caroline Stanbury follows me as I live my life unapologetically and shows you that there is life after 40. I'm here to let you know that not only is there a life after divorce, but you have the power to make it your best one yet, just like I did. So buckle up and join me for the wild ride.
So welcome back to another episode of Uncut and Uncensored, and today is a first for me. Well, we all know I love to discuss sex, but this is amazing. I am being joined by Pamela Madsen, who is the author of How I Ditched the Diet and Got Naked, Found True Pleasure and Still Got Home to Cook Dinner. I love that one, by the way. I did laugh. Informed and was featured in the Orgasmic Leadership, featured on CNN. Sex with Emily, Oprah Winfrey. I could go on and on and on. It's insane. So welcome, Pamela. And you are my first vagina-preneur.
Well, I love being a vagpreneur. That's wonderful. It's a thing. I'm really good from the waist down.
I mean, it's a thing. It's so funny because we've all been brought up to sort of hate them and be scared of them. And you've made your business out of them. So, and I wish people were more relaxed about them. First of all, what is a vaginapreneur?
What is a vagipreneur? Is that what the question is?
Yes. I have no idea.
It's been a label that was put on me. I didn't create. And what I think what they're talking to is that I'm an entrepreneur who has made my business out of supporting women to be connected to their vaginas and to their vulvas and to their sexuality, to their arousal, to their orgasm. In a way that is consumable for women.
Well, I think that's a very important thing because I think a lot of women get married very, very young and sort of get into these marriages where they lose their voice and they can't really say or tell the husband what they feel or what they want because they actually don't know themselves because they're so young. I think most women's sexual awakening sort of happens in their 30s and 40s.
Yes, I think what's true is that women from a very young age are still taught that their sexuality is a commodity, right? And so, and it's a commodity that needs to be protected so that they can make good marriages. And we're not just talking about, you know, the UK and the United States, we're talking about around the world, right? That our sexuality actually belongs to other people, doesn't actually belong to us. And so we don't have sexual sovereignty. We're not taught sexual sovereignty. We're taught to be of service to men. And what we found is that the most surprising thing to women who attend my programs is somebody asking them, what do you like? What do you desire? And they're like, wow, nobody's even asked me that before. And you're absolutely right. They don't know the answer. And so then begins an exploration in a safe container. And you're also correct that this moment of self-discovery, this desire for self-discovery, tends to happen a little later in life. I see a smattering of women in their 20s and 30s. I mostly see women between 40 and 80.
No way.
Between 40 and 80. I have an 88-year-old who comes, and she is doing her thing. And what's true is that menopause, what we've been taught about perimenopause and menopause, is bullshit. Women awaken in a really big way in their 40s and 50s. And I think the reason why is we're so in our lane. we've got to get our career, our education, we got to get married, we have to make babies. And so many women go on that path. And then all of a sudden, you know, like they're swimming in the ocean, they're doing the thing, they're establishing all this. And then all of a sudden they're 40 or they're 50 and they look around and they're like, wow, I've explored everything but me.
Well, that's true. I think, you know, that happens to the best of us, I think. And also, as I said, I think when you've been married for a long time in your 20s, from what I've understood from other friends of mine, you know, it's quite hard to then go back and, you know, want to change your sex life, because the men are like, okay, well, I've, you know, it's kind of an embarrassing topic for people to sort of broach, and they don't know how to do it. And I think that's with a lot of young girls. And that's why I always see my friends that are on second marriages have much more fun or crazier sex lives, because they're much more open with their new partners, because they married later and they sort of know what they want more, and they're more open to themselves.
You know, I got married at 19.
Oh, wow.
I'm still married.
Oh, same man.
I'm still married. And what's true, you know, another perspective around this is, what if understanding your body, understanding how powerful arousal is in your life, in your holistic healthcare, what if we saw sex as more than hot, fantastic sex with our husbands or our partners? What if we were able to actually understand and harness our sexuality, our arousal, as creation and life force energy? What if we could get women to become body friendly? I mean, screw self-love. I mean, that's like another job we're giving women to fail at. Can we give women the opportunity to become friendly with their bodies, to understand their bodies, and to be able to use what is an organic power in our bodies, arousal, to actually fuel and create in our lives? And so we can look at sex in lots of different ways, and sexual knowledge in lots of different ways. It's more like a buffet, our erotic energy as women, than just penis and vagina.
You know, I completely agree. And I think, you know, people are really, really experimenting today. There's so much sort of, well, everything's opened up with the internet, let's face it. So there's so much information being given to us. And I think at this age group as well, I'm seeing, not you per se, a lot more divorce. So I'm seeing women really awaken. And I think that if we had given people the tools and let people be free, and there were more classes and talks and people were sort of open, a lot of people would sort of be able to do this within their marriage. Because, I mean, you are an anomaly, because most people today do end in divorce. And I think, you know, a lot of people, after children and stress, sex gets forgotten. Sex is forgotten and doesn't become the biggest part of the relationship. And it's, you know, going on into years and years. I find that the sex is what completely reconnects you, no matter what. You know, it's the only way to function. It's the glue, as it were, in the stressful day. Whereas I think other women kind of go, no, I'm stressed. Stay away from me. I'm too tired. I've got young children. And you lose all of that. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I don't think you're wrong. What's also true is I see a lot of married women at my programs.
Yeah.
Lots of married women, as well as women in transition, and well as women who are single. You know, we keep coming back to the partnership. And yes, the partnership is super important. And what if your sexual life, your embodiment, your sexual autonomy and sovereignty first began with your own self-knowledge? And it wasn't on the partner. So I went back to the body, not back to the partner.
Okay.
So, you know, the question is, you know, what would be different for women, as you said, if they weren't just given head information, which they're not, okay? What they're given is fear sex education. But they're not ever taught about embodiment. They're not ever taught about their inner pharmacy. You know, I built an empire on arousal, on women finding sexual autonomy in their own bodies, and then using that energy to take in all kinds of directions, including their marriages.
I absolutely understand what you're saying now, and I think it's amazing. But I mean, that's like reconditioning the whole human race, because, you know, when it comes to girls growing up and in school, as you said, we're taught to fear sex. Don't do it. You get pregnant, you get STDs. It's, you know, everything is wrong. Then parents don't tell their children not to really do it. So I don't know how we go from that to informing kids that this is the best thing to do on their own, which, again, you know, we all know everyone's at it. So it's funny. But, you know, if someone finds you or comes to you, I guess, you know, at this point, they're looking for something, right? They're searching. And how does it work? Like, I mean, you walk into a room and then, like, you teach a class of people how to, you know, pleasure themselves. I mean, I'm fascinated. I don't quite, you know.
Well, actually, that's not how it works. So, in fact, my work has been studied and was just published in a journal, a very well-known journal of sexuality and relationships. We actually have data around the work that we do and that we've been doing for 13 years. How it works is a woman gets referred by a friend or finds our website or reads about us in Condé Nast. We were just rated number one for sexual wellness retreats in Condé Nast. So they find us because there is a curiosity about their own sexual knowledge. They want to know more. They believe that there's more in their bodies. And maybe it's orgasm. Maybe they have shame or trauma. Maybe they've been through something. Maybe they're not feeling their libido or desire. So they actually have a consultation with one of our sexologists. And then we help place them in a retreat. And those are immersive retreats. So they stay with us for 7 days. And they work with a practitioner, a certified practitioner. And they stay with that practitioner for their sessions. And they have a female safe port, someone like me, who talks with them before their session, who picks them up from their sessions with their practitioner, who is a trained hands-on sexologist.
And when you say hands-on, what do you mean by hands-on?
Well, we do embodied work.
Right.
So what happens is we have mostly male practitioners, though we do have female practitioners. Some women prefer a woman, but most of our women prefer working with men. They also have to heal issues they may have around finding a healthy, safe masculine. The men stay completely clothed. This is a one-way experience where we use gloved hands, we use toys, touch, meditation, conversation. We teach, we touch. And the women can be as naked as they want to be. They can have full body touch. Nobody has an expectation for the woman. She has her own plan. And she's supported throughout the entire experience. And what we have learned through the study that was just published, and it took 6 years, it's a 45-page study, of what hands-on immersion retreats can do for women. Is number one, they develop something, this is kind of funny, they develop something called genital self-esteem. Lots of women don't feel good about their vulvas. They think they're funny or they smell funny and they look weird. They don't get to see other women's vulvas, right? We're very internal creatures. And so they leave the retreat, A, having vulva pride. They leave the retreats having a better understanding of what they desire and how they want to be touched. And how do they get to say that? How do they learn to speak desire, which is really challenging for people? They release trauma. They feel better about their bodies. They become body friendly. And this is the last piece, but there's more. They learn to initiate sex when they go home. And they also heal their relationships with other women. And that was like one of the biggest things that came out, that women are so competitive with each other. And so when we remove what I call mate competition, when we remove mate competition, women start to advocate for each other. And so at the retreats, everyone's getting the same slice of cake. No one has to fight over the cupcake. And because they don't have to fight over the cupcake, they start cheering each other on. And that's gorgeous. Mm.
So basically, I mean, that's quite intense. That's quite a thing to walk into as a woman. You have to be really ready for that. I think this.
And I'm sold out a year and a half.
Stop.
Yes, a year and a half. And what's the problem I have is that we're very boutique. We're very small.
Yeah.
This is a high touch community, right?
How many women are in a retreat?
It depends. So anywhere from 8 to 16. It depends on the particular retreat, and it depends honestly on price point and how advanced the women are. And we also do privates. But I'm sold out. Like, we're well into our 2025. Most of our women attend 3 to 5 retreats. And so if I only have 100 spots to fill in a year, okay, let's say it's all I've got is 100 spots.
Yeah.
70 of those women are repeaters. They're coming back to do more and learn more and even move their pleasure ceiling up higher. So then I don't have as much room
for
new women.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how to scale. How do you scale this kind of extraordinary, intimate, one-on-one work with women? You can't. You can't do it. You know, we've done it for 13 years in a really safe container for women.
So let's take a little break from today's show and talk about NoCD. Funny enough, we were talking about things like this last night because it's so common today. Do you ever have relationship doubts that feel overwhelming and no matter what you try, you can't seem to work them through? Maybe you constantly ask your partner for reassurance or try to reassure yourself, but the distressing questions about your compatibility, your connection, and your attraction to each other just won't go away. Did you know that this can be a type of OCD known as relationship OCD or ROCD? I mean, so many people think that this is just normal and it happens to everyone and it's just overthinking, but it actually is highly treatable. NoCD provides effective, affordable, and convenient virtual OCD therapy that can help you feel more secure in your relationship and can help in other areas of your life too. With NoCD, you can do live or face-to-face video sessions with a licensed therapist trained in exposure and response prevention, ERP therapy, the gold standard for OCD. NoCD accepts major insurance plans to make your treatment more affordable. To learn more about therapy with NoCD, go to nocd.com and schedule a free 15-minute call with their team. That's nocd.com to learn more and book a free 15-minute call. Let's get back to today's show.
So what do you think that women really walk away with from something like this? As you said, like just being able to satisfy themselves and understand their bodies a lot better, which in turn sort of gives them confidence and, you know, not to have to rely on men in the real world, all of these things. Because, I mean, relationships have become harder. So like, do you think this gives a woman more confidence? What do you think, you know, knowing your vagina like this brings to you?
I think it's a game changer for women. I mean, that's what we've learned. You know, we've learned quantitatively that when women connect their vulva to their heart and their body, and then they take that energy out into the world where they feel safe. They feel safe in the world because they're safe in their bodies. And so if I have autonomy over my body and my sexuality, then I don't have trouble making eye contact with you, do I? I don't have trouble smiling at a man or a woman. because I'm safe in my body. I understand my body. I have autonomy and sovereignty. And therefore, I'm more willing to date. I may be more willing to say yes. I may be more willing to say no. I may know my yes and my no, where before I didn't know my yes and my no. And that carries over not just to actual, you know, sex in a box, but it carries over to someone like you doing a podcast and putting yourself out there in that way. Because yeah. You feel good about yourself. You know, you have that autonomy and that sovereignty. A lot of women don't. And so what we do at Back to the Body is we help women find that within themselves. And what we see is that women make extraordinary life changes. They move from one side of the country to another. They make a new relationship. They leave a relationship. They start a new career. They make extraordinary life changes. And all of that by connecting to their own eroticism, to their own desires, so that they can then bring that into all the parts of their world. You know, it's like your vagina is 8 miles wide, right? It's it's far bigger.
The energy,
the erotic energy of a woman is extraordinary when she's not frightened of it.
And what about these things like, so what you feel about touch versus toys? Because you spoke about toys earlier. A lot of people are scared of sex toys and things like this and going into sex shops.
I love sex toys. I love sex.
You're hilarious. What is that?
Well, this is a tulip. This is called a tulip, and it's by, who is it from? New Sensual. They've got great toys. But the point is, what does it do? It vibrates. I don't know if she's charged or not. Yeah, she's charged. You know, so she vibrates, you know, she vibrates. So I love toys. Toys often help women. Now it doesn't want to go away. I love toys for women. Because a lot of women have a lot of trouble getting over the hump. So they stay in very heightened peaks of arousal, but they're not able to get to the sneeze.
Yes.
They're not able to get to the climax.
Yes.
And so sometimes intensity can support them. And then once they achieve orgasm, it becomes much easier to have and achieve orgasm through a tongue or through fingers or through use of toys. Also, you know, we don't just use vibrators, right? There's sensation. Are you curious about what sensation is like? What does sensation do for your body? You know, what about words? What about sound? What about breath? What about movement? You know, we encourage women, they get to see me in a live demo for the group, and they get to see that I don't lay there on my back. You know, I'm sort of like the Isadora Duncan of orgasm. Like, I move my body. I get up off my back. I get on my knees. Sometimes I'm standing. You know, when you're really embodied, you move. You move.
Hang on a minute. You have an orgasm in front of the group.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. Okay, so why aren't you doing this for couples? Why are you just doing this for women? Shouldn't couples?
Well, actually, we do have a couples retreat. And we also work with couples privately. And women don't have access to this kind of care. When I started out with this, when I tell my story in Shameless, I talk about when I went to explore this modality of one-way touch, I couldn't find anything. If you're a man, I don't care if you're gay, straight, bisexual, if you have a cock, you can get anything you want. In the sexuality world, you want Genghis Khan's twin daughters delivered to you? Absolutely no problem. You're a woman and you're looking for healthy sexual wellness programs for women. 10 years ago, it was as dry as a desert. And now we're just beginning. Women are really, you know, sharing their experiences, and they're not frightened of their images being used on our website. They're doing video testimonials because it's so big in their life. So if we can change the reality for a woman, we will change the reality for her partner. It just happens. If she's comfortable now being naked, he's no longer having to play where is she under the sheets. She's now, I'm here. I've arrived. And now men own a Ferrari. You know, some of the men have said to me, and they don't own her. That was a bad turn of phrase. Some of the men who are in long-term relationships with our clients will say to me, we need a guidebook. Like, we sent you, you know, you my wife came and she was never interested in sex. And now I have a woman exploding with desire. And now, you know, then they start doing the couple's work. But we have to get her in a place because women have been so denied this where men haven't. We have to get her in a place where she's really able to meet her partner. And then we can work with them together. And there are programs for men that are like Back to the Body. Mm. For men, the same formula. There's Happy Touch for men, for straight men. That's in Canada. And there is the Body Vox for gay and bisexual men to do this kind of work. So yeah, it's not the exclusive purview of women. But no. My point of view, I need to start with the woman.
But men have been taught, I think, that, you know, just sticking it in today is enough. And it's not. That's just the beginning. And I think porn does that, really. It teaches them that's enough. I mean, you know, the one thing that I have with my husband now is that, you know, he loves to spend hours, you know, playing around and sort of, you know, getting used to each other's bodies. And that's really something he enjoys to do. So I'm very lucky like that. And he's a younger generation, you know, we're 19 years apart. So I don't know if that's, he's taken it on like sport, which is so nice because so many men don't. And women's bodies are so different. And every orgasm is different, right? I mean, I have girlfriends who say they like have multiple. What is a multiple orgasm, by the way? How many can you have at once?
Well, as many as you're willing to have. So, you know, we have to sometimes teach women who are from the generation of one and done.
Yeah.
That they can have 16 orgasms. They can have 18 orgasms. What's true is that there may be a moment of discomfort where things feel very, very intense. And so if we can teach and coach women to stay in with their, to stay in with their pleasure and actually be willing to be a little uncomfortable, they get over the hump and then it becomes like swimming. But there is a teaching around that and supporting women. And we do that. And we help women find their first orgasm and their first ejaculation. But the emphasis is on outer course. The emphasis is not on intercourse, it's on outer course. And you're very lucky that you have a lover who's into doing outer course with you. Yeah. That's not just into, you know, getting his rocks off, right? Mm-hmm. I think every couple should have a massage table in the house. A massage table, a sex room, where you just learn to give each other touch. Like, how do you awaken each other's bodies? How do you do that? Are you willing to spend the time? Are you going fast? Can you go slower? If you think you're going slower, go slower. You know, teaching these kinds of communication and touch skills are really important. Women need them.
What would you say are the five most sensitive parts for women?
Oh, my gosh.
Go on.
You know, that's so hard. Because when you've been with one woman, you've been with one woman. That's all. I think that women love their asses squeezed. Women love claws or nails going up and down their whole body. You know, sensation play is huge for women. Behind your knees, your inner thighs.
Behind your knees.
Behind your knees, baby. Suck on a woman's foot, on her toes, bite her feet is going, that's like, wow. You know, you'll hear screams of delight as electricity shoots up her body. You know, the clitoris is only the tip of the mountain and the clitoris has legs. And so what we see is just the outside.
Yeah.
And every woman is wired differently. So I have clitoral legs that go down into my inner thighs. So for me, like squeezing my inner thighs is really sexy for me. When the first time I had my toes sucked, I mean, my feet bitten, was huge for me. Like, who knew? Who knew that was hot, having my hair pulled? Right? And not like this, all right? Like down here, like with a firm grip, super hot. I know, I think that women love to feel safe with the masculine and also want to feel the power of the masculine. And we've kind of messed it up a bit for men, because many women are wanting the masculine to pick them up and throw them on the bed, mm-hmm. right? But we're teaching men that that's scary for women and the Me Too movement and all that. And so we've made men timid.
Well, I think the problem is as well, then if you watch porn, you know, it's almost too rough as well. So, you know, it's almost, some of it looks like, you know, they're not enjoying it at all. So there's a happy medium between it. And I think,
porn is entertainment. It's not sex education.
Well, sadly, yes. But that's as much as young men get educated today. So, you know, it's either no, you can't have it, or here it is and it's in porn. So you've got your parents teaching, you've got pornography. So that's what their two Bibles are, right? So, you know, to teach a man, you've got to be in between. It is scary. It is scary. But, you know, I think the funny thing is, in my relationship with my husband, in the workplace and home, I am the man, as it were. I'm the stronger person. I'm the older person and I take control. But in the bedroom, that's his domain.
Absolutely. So there's a difference between the boardroom and the boudoir. Yeah.
Yes. Massive. Massive. And that's where he feels in control, whereas I think the rest of his life is controlled by me, as it were.
And that may really work for you.
Yeah.
And for some women who are overly controlling of their partners, like, oh, can I give you a story? Okay. Yes. So let's say there's a snowstorm. Mm-hmm. Not what you are. So there's a snowstorm and the gentleman calls and he goes, darling, what can I get for you? The hunter, right? Honey, get bread, get eggs, get milk. Yes, I'm going to get that for you, darling. And he goes out and he hunts down all the things and he brings it back and he puts it on the counter. Woof, here, woman. And she opens the bag and she pulls out the bread. And she's like, what is this? Do you ever see bread like this in this house? We don't eat white bread and it has gluten. We eat gluten free. She throws it down and she pulls out the milk and the same story. It's all wrong. He's done it all wrong. And then she wants that man to take control in the bedroom. And so if he has no autonomy and he's not winning outside of the bedroom, it becomes increasingly hard for that man to feel like he can win in the bedroom. Hmm. So I tell women, if you're constantly criticizing and you're constantly controlling, and then you want him to throw you against the wall and pop you onto the bed, it's not going to do that. And so how do we support our male partners in and out of the bedroom so that we're not always, and I'm not talking about leadership, Caroline, I'm not talking about that. And like, I'm not talking about your strength as a woman and your ability to lead. I'm talking about those little things that happen between people where we have to allow the man
to be a man.
We actually have to allow the man to sometimes do things their way.
Yeah. Rightly or wrongly. I think the difference for me is I think the age gap for me makes me take over more, but you're right. He's completely capable in every aspect. So, you know, I met him when he was 24, so he'd only really lived with one girl before me. So, you know, I guess he learned a lot on the job with me anyway. But, you know, I think these things, we talk about this, like, do you believe in one partner for the rest of your life if you're teaching this? Or do you believe in, like, open and, like, you know, seeing other people, or, you know, sex with other people and having, you know, just sex? What's your philosophy on this?
Well, I think it's hard for me to speak for the world. I've been married for 40 years. I was strictly monogamous for about 25 years of that marriage. Mm-hmm. And I also have taken lovers.
Yeah.
And those lovers have been relationships. So my husband's my primary partner, and I've had a secondary partner. I've had four over 10 years that have lasted for a long time. That's me. I like relationship. I also like different kinds of kinky play that maybe my husband's not interested in. So maybe he's not interested in spanking games. Does that mean that I don't ever get to do that stuff? No, I don't think that's true. I think people need to figure this out for themselves, and they need to have boundaries, and they can work with a professional on how to negotiate that. But lots of couples have lots of different styles of being together. And so my philosophy is consent. Have the difficult conversations, and then don't break the rules. Because when you break the rules, when you're expanding your marriage to include others, then you break trust. And if there isn't trust, you've lost everything. Hmm.
Interesting. Yes. Because I mean, I guess, you know, once you've sort of opened that whole other world up, you know, it's kind of a can of worms too. What about sort of, because a lot of people also, like, you go into these sex shops and you want to go and get a sex toy, whatever it is. And like, everybody wants to play eventually with their husband and find new things and make it exciting. But these sex shops can be quite, you know, scary walking into them. Like, how do you sort of take it if you've, you know, you've bought, what's the next step from vibrators and things like that? What is the next, you know, because once you sort of, that becomes a routine, what's the next one? What do you advise people so that you can keep your, like, I don't know, keep exploring each other, I suppose.
Well, I'll give you a couples game. You mentioned the sex shop. Mm-hmm. So go with your partner into a sex shop, make it a date night. And they're beautiful ones today. They're not scary. That where the sex toys are laid out like cashmere sweaters. And there's female staff as well as male staff, right? Or trans or whatever. There's lots of different kinds of humans who are there. So you each get a basket. And you say, okay, we have 15 minutes. We're going to separate. And you go explore and I'm going to go. And we're going to fill the basket with what we want to explore. Because sometimes telling somebody that you want a spanking, or for a guy to want to have a pegging, or whatever it is, or you want to play with rope, can feel really scary to say.
What's
that.
What's a pegging?
Anal sex. Ah. Anal sex. Okay, so when the man wants to be penetrated. Okay? So it's hard to, maybe it's hard to tell your partner those things. So you separate, you fill up your basket with things that you are interested in. Toys, books, costumes, videos. And then you come together, say, okay, doll, we'll meet by the lube in 15 minutes. And you look in each other's baskets. And here's the rule. No yucking each other's yums. Okay? Right? Like, you can't say, like, oh my God, that's so disgusting. Oh, you mean you want me to do what? No, not allowed, against the rules. What you are allowed to do is have curiosity and know that your partner is being really vulnerable with you, showing you things they're curious about. You get to pick three items out of each other's baskets that you're willing to experiment with.
Okay.
So I didn't know he wanted to play with rope. Does he want to tie me? Does he want to be tied? Right? That's a conversation. Oh my God, I'm picking the rope. I'm picking a particular sex toy or a swing or a book or whatever. So you buy those items and then you have conversation around those items. So I see that you picked a dildo, honey, she says to her male partner, you know, and I see you have a book called Bend Over Boyfriend. So you would like that? You would like me to do that to you? And that opens up a whole new world for them. Or she has rope. And she's like, yeah, I want you to tie me. And then maybe he says, I love that idea. Let's learn about tying. Let's go to rope class. Because there are classes for everything. And so this is a great couples game. It opens, it's like the next thing that you're asking for. It's not just buying a toy, but it opens up a whole conversation. I didn't know you were into that. I didn't know you were curious about that. You know what? I'm curious about that too. Great. Let's learn about it together.
And when you said a sex room, like how big does a sex room have to be? What's a beginner's sex room look like?
What I mean by that is having a dedicated safe space with that you have sex in. Now, if you don't have children, it could, you know, it, you could have a spare bedroom that you just sort of make into your own little temple space where you have a massage table and you have toys and other kinds of playthings that, and you make an invitation, right? But you also can have a massage table and all the things in your closet and pull it out when you want it. Mm-hmm. And a sign and letting your people know, do not disturb. And then it's also like learning how to simmer with each other. How do you make an invitation? How do you put out your welcome mat? Like, darling, tonight, when you come home tonight, I want you to take a shower. And then I want you to wait for me in the bedroom with the silk robe I've laid out for you. Will you do that for me? Oh, there's a note on the bed. With a blindfold, it says, darling, drop the robe and put the blindfold on. And so how do we create sexy invitations to encounters with each other? It's all possible, right? You know, the welcome mat is so important. Having sexual creativity, creating excitement, creating newness, creating creating a little bit of romance and simmer and anticipation.
What would you suggest is one of the best lubes on the market? Because I have to say, I find them quite sticky and sort of like...
Well, I'm not going to recommend a brand because I don't represent a brand, but I'm going to say that my personal preference is silicone lubes. Water lubes are really sticky. What you're talking about is probably a water lube. People worry about the silicone lubes if they're using condoms or sex toys that it could degrade it over time. Mm-hmm. I've never found that to be a problem. And how a silicone lube feels on a vulva or a cock is very different than a water-based lube. A water-based lube can be really sticky and gloppy. If I'm using lube, I want it to be smooth as silk. I want it to enhance pleasure. I wanted to help my hands move better. And I'm not a fan of flavored lubes.
And if someone's going now, I'm just going to, the last takeaway for this, if you're going to start off, what would your number one sex toy be or shape? I know no brands for man, like the most pleasurable for a man or a woman or together. Like, what would you suggest?
Probably the biggest, ugliest of them all, which is the magic wand.
The wand.
The magic wand, because you really can't, it has such a big bulb, it's just reaching like, do I have one handy to lift? And I don't. So any kind of a wand is beautiful because it has such a large, such a large head that for a woman, as we talked about earlier, it's not just her clitoris, it's the whole tree. And men find it pleasurable as well. And you can use a wand, you know, also with a man in his taint area, you know, between his balls and his anus, and you put the wand there and then use your mouth or your hands and you're giving an exquisite experience. If you're really adventuresome and you want to pleasure your man and your woman while doing oral, put the wand by your face and let your mouth vibrate. It's amazing.
Okay. Thank you for that. practicing. My husband is here. He can't hear you, unfortunately, but Sergio, you have no idea what's coming for you. We're off to sex school. Pamela, this has been eye-opening. I'm going to be doing my homework and I'm going to find you again because I absolutely think this is brilliant. And I love this because I actually think that we grow in so many different ways. Why shouldn't we all learn to grow in the bedroom too? And all of these kind of things, you know, and how do you learn unless, you know, it's practical?
Absolutely. You have a trainer, you have a dietitian.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you have a sex coach?
I don't know. How have I lived without a sex coach?
I don't know. I don't know, which is why like programs like mine that are so established, they're hard to get into. They're hard to get into because once women find it, they're not letting go so fast because there's all this opportunity for them.
They're coming to your retreat and orgasming all day long. I probably wouldn't leave either. I'm actually shutting down and I will be at Pamela's retreat.
Sounds anyway, like a plan.
Thank you for coming on. I've really, really enjoyed it and learned a few things too. And I hope everyone else out there. Pamela, how does everybody find you? Let them all know.
Sure. There's a couple of things. Number one, if they go to backtothebody.org, my website, they can take the pleasure quiz and then find out where they are in comparison to everyone around pleasure and then get resources. If you're an Instagram fan, find me at the Pamela Madsen. If you're on Facebook, there I am. I am one of the old-time verified folks. So find me on social media. I'm in all the places. But please go over to backtothebody.org. Take the pleasure quiz. It's free. And then you'll get tons of resources.
Thank you, Pamela. Thank you, everyone, for listening to another very insightful episode of Uncut and Uncensored. Wow. Thank you. Don't forget to download, rate, and review.
Thank you for listening. You can catch my new episode of my podcast every Wednesday. Please don't forget to follow so you don't miss any of the action. I want to hear from you, so leave me a rating and a review. Follow us on social for all the behind-the-scenes action and more information at Uncut and Uncensored by Caroline. See you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.